Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, that is us. Good evening, everybody. He's Rich Hornberger. I'm Marnie Spanier, right here on Fox Sports Radio. We're sitting in for the guys tonight. Jason Smith and his best friend, Mike Harmon, as we start the fill-in rotation. I don't think anybody Monday through Friday is going to be around the next couple of days, except for Rob Parker, because he likes to work a million shifts.
Rob Parker.
He loves working a bunch of them. All right, a lot to get to. DeSega will join us in the 45 past the hour. Give us all the latest news and notes that we've not gotten to so far today. It is the power hour of the show. Coming up next hour will be the bonus hour, so we still got a couple hours to go. You know, when we started the show, Rich, we talked about LeBron. 39 points, leads the Lakers to an overtime victory out there. I guess we find out now that during the game, he had a couple of fans thrown out of the game. He went to the officials, and in the video, you can hear a fuming LeBron say, quote unquote, right blanking here, and pointing directly to a couple of the fans. I guess a man and a woman, the female fan, took one last jab at LeBron by pretending she was crying and rubbing her eyes. Is it getting out of hand? Is LeBron getting out of hand out there with the fans, or was he being a little sensitive? I guess we don't know what was said right now.
Well, you know, LeBron wields a tremendous amount of power. We were talking about that in the beginning of the show because he got a light suspension for, you know, making pretty severe contact with Isaiah Stewart against the Detroit Pistons Sunday night. In fact, he drew blood and he got a game to Stewart's too, you know. So we know that he's a powerful man in the NBA. So if he wants a couple of fans out of an arena, I mean, there's absolutely no doubt that he's going to be able to point his finger and his bidding will be done. Now, I will say this, though. Even though he does have that power, I do think that LeBron is careful because he has crafted a public image, especially amongst NBA fans, that's respected. Right. And so, you know, it must have been something. There must have been some seriously coarse language.
It had to be because it was in the middle of overtime. Usually you deal with whatever you have to deal with because you're in overtime. Right. You're in the heat of the moment. For him to not stop the game but point them out in overtime shows you that actually something was bothering him.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and it's unique. It's rare. In fact, you know, we're just talking about this scuffle he got into with Stewart. You know, that was unique and rare. So, I don't know. Look, you know, the argument can be made that, you know, folks get grumpier as they age, and maybe we're hitting that point with Grandpa James. I don't know, you know.
What about the fans? Are we getting a little, are we crossing the line more and more, or are we just picking up more of the fans doing it because of all the social media and stuff like that?
I think that in general, I think that we just have more eyes on bad behavior, you know, than we've ever had access to. It's so much easier to get, you know, a camera phone on somebody who's misbehaving or saying words they shouldn't be saying out in public, or, you know, these questionable issues where it's a he said. But then all of a sudden you can go to the videotape because somebody courtside had a camera on the misbehavior, and it's very obvious that the fan stepped over the line, as opposed to before where it's just a player going, hey, you know, I can't believe what just happened. They're like, well, prove it. You know, there's no need to prove it anymore because the proof is everywhere you look. Everybody's a member of the media now. So there's that, you know, and also in general, and this is a controversial take, people hate this, but I have no idea why fans are allowed to be so close to the court. Like, I honestly, from a player protection standpoint, you know, especially in today's age where we see copycat things go on all the time across the country with more exposure, like, you know, what's it going to take? I mean, a player could get severely injured by somebody sneaking something into, you know, somebody's a little off kilter and they decide to sneak a weapon in, you know, something, anything. It's just like, give the players a little distance from you know, just like they do in the NFL, just like they do in Major League Baseball. Like, why?
Yeah, but those are rich people that are on courtside out there. They're you know, that's Jack Nicholson you're talking about there, Rich. Come on now.
Yeah, I guess Jack isn't going to pull a Shiv. You know what I mean? Like, Jack isn't sharpening a toothbrush and bringing it, you know, to Staples. I guess you'd make a good point, but you know, I guess you know, from a standpoint, for the fan safety and the player's safety both, it doesn't make sense that we need to see Louis Vuittons on hardwood down there on the, you know, so.
They do put them right on top of the court, though, don't they? I mean, you're like, what, one or two steps away. You're right there. When you're taking the ball out of bounds, you're right there, for crying out loud.
I was watching recently, this is a really funny video of this fan who is sitting between the two benches, like right between the scorer's table during a Kings game, and Luke Walton was still the coach. This fan just leans through, I think it was a dude, through his lap, and he just chucks, man. Like, he must have had bad shrimp before the game. Something happened. And he just, I mean, he painted the sideline. He just let it rip. And so, you know, he's firing away. You got players who are holding their noses. You got Luke Walton like, what the hell is going on over here? And then, you know, he just sat there. I mean, maybe he was overserved. You could argue that.
I got to tell you, the best ticket I ever got, and it wasn't even a sporting event. I went to the Chargers-Dolphins game, that famous game that was sold out, and got a great seat for like $20. But the best ticket I ever got was a listener that gave me a free ticket to Hugh Hefner's Wet and Wild Playboy Party in Las Vegas. Oh, yeah. Talk about stories. Yes. That's more for a podcast.
Now, when they throw the party in Vegas, do they travel with the grotto? That's what I want to know. Does it come with them? I don't know.
I let me tell you something. All I can tell you is that they... free booze and food, obviously.
Good.
I had like a turkey leg in my hand. It was like I was like Friar Tuck or something. I was watching 8 hours of topless volleyball because that is a sport. You understand that, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
That is a sport. And I'll just wrap it up by saying to this, because I was single at the time. Me and my buddy were at the party, and we were talking to two young girls for quite a long time. And they're like, we're like, hey, we should go back to my place and, you know, continue the party. And they're like, yeah, let's go. And as we're about to leave, and I can't even make this up, Paulie Shore comes up, whispers something in their ear, and they just leave with Paulie Shore. And that was it. Yeah. That was the party.
Listen, yeah, so. You know. You got beat by a sure thing. No pun intended.
It killed me. That's why I don't like Paulie Shore to this day. All right, we got a lot to get to on this day before Thanksgiving. Like I said, you want to get in at Orenberger. I'm at Stinkin' Genius One, obviously. Three games for Thanksgiving Day. We talked a little bit about the Bears and the Lions. Where did we stand on this? You wanted the Lions to continue the tradition and continue playing on Thanksgiving Day. Why don't we rotate them like we do with the Monday night games, the Thursday night games? Why does it have to be tradition on Thanksgiving? Why can't we rotate all the teams differently, or that doesn't make sense?
No, it does make sense. I mean, just like you would on any primetime event. I agree with you. I think it might be time, and I'm sure I could guarantee you at this point, given the viewership numbers and the awareness of those numbers by other NFL owners, they're saying the same thing, maybe in hushed voices, because I'm sure, you know, from a standpoint of tradition, you know, the Lions want to keep that spot. I'm sure there are certain franchises who maybe not want to play on Thanksgiving Day, and they're happy that only, you know, two teams, or really, I guess, the opponents of the Lions, so four other teams are, you know, have to sacrifice the holiday. But I honestly like the tradition personally. I don't mind it. Arnie, I don't know if you're in the... I kind of dig that the Lions play on Thanksgiving because it's been that way since as long as I can remember. I remember sitting in the basement dining room at my grandparents' house, and while I was choking down some dry white meat and just bathing it in gravy, I would look over, and on the television that at that point was a piece of furniture from the 50s, I was watching the Lions through a glass screen, and there's something comforting about the fact that they're still playing on Thanksgiving days now.
Sitting on plastic as you were sitting on your chair out there. You know what? And you're right about that. It kind of goes back all those years that we've had the Lions on. The fact that we have three games now, I guess I'm okay with the Lions playing. If we had to go back to two games, I don't know if I'd be, you know, the same as that. Matter of fact, the Raiders are playing the Cowboys, which I think is going to be a blow-up. But let me just ask you a couple things about that. One, the Raiders look good like the game after Gruden was gone.
Yeah.
They're not looking so great right now. They're starting to fall apart. By the way, just before we get to the game, how's this Gruden thing going to turn out? Because if I'm Gruden, you're not going to get your name back.
No.
So that leaves two other things, money and taking down people with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could say all you want, but that's only a human reaction. That's what I want. I would say, hey, you're either going to release those 650,000 other emails, or every owner take out $5 million, and that's what you're going to give me. And if you don't do it by next week, then it goes up to $10 million for each owner. And you're going to go ahead and you're going to cave in, because there's no way you're going to want this to go to court.
No.
Because you don't want us to see what was out there. So he's going to get his money, and he's going to get a lot more than people think. At least I believe so.
Oh yeah. 100%. As soon as I saw that he was launching this lawsuit, I mean, first of all, I saw it coming, because this is very similar in many ways, and in result will be as well, to how the NFL handled Colin Kaepernick. Look, I mean, Colin Kaepernick, he launched a lawsuit against the league for collusion, you know,
right,
saying that these 32 ownership groups colluded against me. I wanted a role in the NFL. I have provable data that says I should be in the NFL if it weren't for this effort to keep me out of the NFL. And instead of, you know, sacrificing deposition and discovery, the NFL said, all right, how big of a check do you need, Colin, for you never to speak of this again?
Right.
You know, and,
right,
and so that's exactly what John Gruden's doing. He's saying, okay, just like you said, Arnie, you know, he's saying, okay, you guys want me out? That's fine. Well, here's my final swing. And
yes.
And I'm I know we want to protect the Shield, and I know the Shield has made me a lot of money in the past, but my silence is going to be paid for. And so that's exactly how this will end. And like you said, he'll probably never coach again. We'll probably not hear much from John Gruden ever again, but he will fade into obscurity, a very rich man.
And they're going to have a tough time going up against the Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys have lost two of their last three. They lose to the Broncos, where everybody was surprised about that. They pounded the Falcons, and they lost an ugly game to the Chiefs, where they couldn't get their offense going, which was quite surprising. But they had problems on the wide receiver front out there. C.D. Lamb went with a concussion, so obviously he was out, and we got to the COVID situation that we'll get to in just a second. But the Cowboys, are they okay, or are they having them, or was it just a bad stretch that they're going through right now?
Yeah, the Cowboys, look, they looked obviously awful against the Broncos, like you mentioned, and last week against the Rams, pretty inept as well. Or excuse me, the Chiefs, pretty inept as well.
Yeah.
And what's scary about the Cowboys is how reliant they've become on Dak Prescott. You know, I believe in Dak Prescott. I think he is absolutely a top 10 quarterback, and if not a top 5 quarterback. But if you can't protect Dak, then you're not going to be able to win, because the run game really hasn't been there in consistency the entire season. So this offense goes, and frankly this team goes, as Dak goes. And so there's no saving this offense if Dak isn't 100% A, or B, if you can't protect him from the pass rush. And that was the story of the game. You know, you had a savage beating that your quarterback took under center. I mean, it was under duress the entire game. And that's the tale of the tape. If that continues, then the Cowboys are going to have a real spiral this second half. But I think they're going to get healthy at left tackle. You know, they're going to get Smith back. And that's going to be a huge buoy for the pass protection. And we'll see if it's enough.
Rich Ornberger, Arnie Spanier, sitting in for the guys Jason Smith and Mike Harmon when we get back. Heading into Week 12 of the NFL, I know this. What do we know? We'll tell you what we know when we get back right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, good evening, everybody. Rich Hornberger, Arnie Spanier, right here on Fox Sports Radio. We're in for the guys tonight, Jason Smith and his best friend, Mike Harmon, as you take you through this Wednesday night, the biggest party night of the year, Rich.
Yeah.
I haven't been out on a Wednesday night in 2 decades, for crying out loud. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Wednesday, I'll tell you what. Once I started making children, Wednesday night party nights, I mean, it's just not on the docket these days.
Yeah, it's a school night, that's for damn sure. We're getting a lot on Twitter. If you want to go ahead and join the show, at Ornberger, O-H-R-N-B-E-R-G-E-R. By the way, you have 4 letters in a row without a vowel, for crying out loud.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Those sneaky Germans, they found a way to sneak in an H. You know, there you go.
And I'm a stinking genius one. Roberta says, hey, guys, I think LeBron did this on purpose to shock and energize his team. That's what King James would do, talking about throwing out a couple people. You don't think he did that on purpose to energize his team? They were already winning and kind of running away with it in overtime there, Rich.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe they're talking about that. Maybe Roberta's talking about, you know, swinging an elbow or a fist at Isaiah Stewart and getting suspended, you know, kind of similar to a manager kicking dirt on an umpire. You know, just sort of, well, this is a game we got to lose because Skip, you know, put his neck on the line for us. You know, maybe there's a little bit of that. I don't know. I mean, look, if anybody 40 chess, it's a guy who's been playing professional basketball since he's 13 years old, like LeBron James.
And Sharon says, we're getting a lot of women tonight. It must be because I'm sexy or something.
Okay, yeah.
LeBron has just become unbearable. He purposely punches and bloodies another player. Then he gets his feelings hurt because fans said something. I really find him just horrible. Yeah, there's people that feel about that. Either you love LeBron or you hate him. There's no in between there, Rich.
Yeah, well, you know, bygone are the days where, you know, you have sort of a star player who's absentee in the conversations that go beyond the sport that they play, you know. And LeBron James has really divided his viewing audience. There are people who love the way he plays basketball but despise his social and political takes. There are people who can't stand him because he plays for the, you know, against the team they root for. Of course, that's natural. Any fan will feel that way toward a player. But yeah, again, another reason why social media has had a great impact in sports, because we get access to these guys 24/7, and some people, that's too much access.
All right, we want to ask the people out there, as we head into week 12 of the NFL, what do you know? We want to get your tweets on that at Ornberger. I'm at Stinkin' Gene. I'll start things off. As we head into week 12, Rich, I know this. My Miami Dolphins, and I said this 3 weeks ago, won't lose a game the rest of the year. They'll win at home against the Panthers, against the Giants, against the Jets. They'll win at the Saints and at the Titans. They'll win at home against the Patriots. They'll run the table to finish 10-7 and make the playoffs. How about that? What do I know after 12 weeks? How about that, Rich, my friend?
Okay. I'll see that, and I'll give you this. And I mentioned this earlier, but heading into week 12 in the NFL, I know that the Cowboys are way too Dak dependent. All right, so I'm going to give you some stats here.
Okay.
They've had 4 games where they've rushed under 100 yards, and 3 of those 4 games were losses against the Bucs, the Broncos, and most recently the Chiefs. The one victory under 100 yards rushing was against the Vikings, tight game, 2016 victory for the boys. When they have to rely solely on Dak Prescott, this team looks different. They need to establish the run. It comes down to Zeke Elliott, you know, earning that huge contract that Jared Jones, you know, cracked off for him, and Tony Pollard being the understudy that we saw in the preseason and early this season. We're like, wow, look at him. That's thunder and lightning out of the backfield. They need to get back to that.
All right. And let me tell you something. You're right about that, because they look so good early. I'm not so sure. I'm panicked about losing 2 of the last 3. But the game against Kansas City, you were right. The offense just looked putrid. So we'll see if they're able to go ahead and fix that. Heading into week 12, I know this. It doesn't make a difference who's the offensive coordinator for the Giants. You're just a horrible team. Saquon Barkley never worked out. And that's one of the big busts of having a top pick out there. Danny Dimes is not a franchise quarterback. Look, maybe he's good on a different team, but he's just not cutting it now. He needs to be a backup. It's not going to work. Gettleman needs to be gone. They need to clean house and start all over again. And I don't even know if I needed 12 weeks to figure that out, but they just don't look good right now, you know?
Yeah, you know, and they've missed on a lot of their high draft picks. You know, you mentioned Danny Dimes. You're talking about their offensive coordinator, Garrett. You know, you got Will Hernandez up front for this team. He's been a bust as well at his position. I mean, like, they've got problems everywhere you look, and a lot of it comes down to who they've brought into the building and expect to get results from. It has not worked out. All right. Heading into week 12, yes. I know this. The Rams have an Achilles heel. And this is actually very similar to the conversation we just had about the Cowboys. Their past two losses, they were held under 100 yards rushing. They had 94 yards against the Titans. And then they followed up that performance with 52 yards on the ground against the Niners. And so another team that when they have to rely on their quarterback, Matthew Stafford, the team looks vastly different. And I understand they've had injuries, and that stems all the way back to the preseason. But those, you know, with Debo, I mean, with the rushing offense that they were able to generate with Robert Woods out of the backfield and some of these other receivers, but they need to get back to grinding out the hard yards, and if they can't, they need Matthew Stafford to prove his worth and win some of those games where the run game isn't supporting him as much, because that's what they brought him in and traded away Goff and some draft picks for.
Rich, you ever see Cordell Patterson playing primarily running back? I don't know if you've seen that before.
Yeah. In his career, he's lined up at back a lot. You know, he's kind of the Swiss Army knife of football players. Great returner. You can line him up, obviously, at receiver, but you know, he'll get in the backfield and he'll mix it up, man.
If you're telling me a wide receiver could play running back, are you telling me Odell Beckham Jr. could be a running back? put him in there, just pitch him the ball or something? I don't know.
I'll tell you, I'm very curious how he would react to having that opportunity if he'd like it. But I'd be curious to see what that looked like. I almost mentioned Debo Samuel. Debo Samuel, during that game against the Rams, I mean, he was featured as much in the run game as he was in the passing game. So we're starting to see more of an amorphic skill position in the NFL. So, look, I would love to see what number three in a Rams jersey can do as a running back instead of a wide receiver.
Heading into week 12, I know this. Vikings 49ers this weekend. Loser out of the playoff season, OVER, for whoever loses that game. Vikings with a great victory last week. Hanging on to come from behind to beat Green Bay. That doesn't make sense. they had to come from behind. San Francisco, you can't lose at home and drop to 5-6. They're 1-4 at home right now. I know this, loser out of the playoff run, I think.
I agree with that, and I think the Niners are getting rolling at the right time, so I would take that action. All right, heading into week 12, I know this. The Patriots are serious Super Bowl contenders.
Oh, no, they're not.
Oh, come on, please. No. They are well-coached. They got five straight wins. They are absolutely dominating defensively. Talk about a run game. I mean, what they've been able to generate out of their backfield right now, it's close to unmatched. Mac Jones's development has been on hyper speed. He's making some next-level throws, especially down near the goal line. They've got a +6 turnover ratio, forcing 21 turnovers on the season. That's good for third place in the NFL. I mean, look, people hate the hoodie, but Bill Belichick can still coach, man, and he's done a great job with the squad.
Maybe coach of the year.
Yeah.
He may be coach of the year.
Yeah.
No BS on that. I still think they're doing it with fool's gold. We'll see. You want to get in at Orenberger. I'm at Stinkin' Genius One. When we get back, I want to talk about some of the quarterbacks out there and who's going to be moving on from their team. And I think those decisions are being made. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I want to ask you, as we talk about, are on the road against Dallas, have the Raiders already decided they're 5-5, things are heading south, they lost their coach, that's it. We got to start with a new coach, we got to move on from Derek Carr, though I think he's a very underrated quarterback. You can't fire all the players, so that means you got to get rid of the coach or you got to get rid of the quarterback. I think the Raiders are ready to move on past Derek Carr and go in a different direction.
You know, it's interesting you say he's underrated. I completely agree. You know, if I'm going to compare Derek Carr to, for example, a Thanksgiving side dish, I would say Derek Carr is the mashed potatoes on the table. Because, you know, you think about Derek Carr, and if he's great, everybody's talking about, like, my goodness, these potatoes, what'd you put in this? Is there nutmeg? It's delicious. But when it's bad, it's just kind of like forgettable. You know, you just sort of like, you know, when Tom Brady has an awful performance, everybody talks about it. When Dak Prescott has a stinker, everybody talks about it. When Derek Carr and the Raiders have a tough night at QB, people just sort of move on with their news week. So I agree with you. He's underrated. He doesn't get enough attention when he does great things. He doesn't get a lot of attention when he does poor things. And for that, I mean, is he box office? Is that what you're going after, being in Vegas now with this beautiful new stadium, which I actually just had the opportunity to call a game in? Allegiant Stadium is really special. Yeah, maybe. I mean, but one man's trash will be another man's treasure. If you move on from Derek Carr, I mean, you may have that lover's remorse because you may see him pair up with a different team and it might be fireworks because I think there's a lot of talent left in him.
I was about to ask you, who is Derek Carr? Let's say he went to Miami. Would he do, obviously, a better job than Tua? Would he take them deep into the playoffs, take them to a Super Bowl or what?
Yeah, I mean, I look at Derek Carr as being that caliber of a quarterback. You know, I mean, look, is he Aaron Rodgers? No. You know, is he Tom Brady? No. You know, is he Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson with, you know, the unbelievable dual threat capability? No. But is he like a Kirk Cousins, you know, who's maybe the bottom of the top 10 year after year? Yeah. You know, is he, you know, a plus tier two quarterback like, an Alex Smith before he retired? Yeah, you know, I look at Derek Carr as being good enough to elevate an average offense, and I look at him as being competent enough to really be the finishing touches on a solid offense and make you a serious playoff contender. The problem for the Raiders over the years he's been playing, barring really one year with Jack Del Rio as the head coach, they just haven't had a good enough offensive line, enough health up front, or enough talent around him to really make a run.
Now, Rich, what about in the big name here, and everybody's talking about this, the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield? They picked up his 50-year option because obviously it's not going to cost them as much money as if he was a free agent. They had to give him the big money out there. What do the Browns do? Because I get the feeling they've made their decision already and that they're not going to give Baker Mayfield the big contract. Then again, how do you bring him back for another year? If you're going to get rid of him, don't you get rid of him after this year and start looking for your veteran quarterback, maybe a Deshaun Watson, or who knows if you want to bring a Russell Wilson in, or do you just keep him for another year after this?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question, and I don't know how this story ends with Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. You know, who knows? You know, maybe once he gets healthy and, you know, the Browns continue to build around him, one day, you know, he'll have a bust in Canton. My guess, though, is, you know, first and foremost, we'll start with the decision to sign him for his fifth-year option. That's just a punt. You know, to use football terms, they're stalling the decision.
Right, right.
And they're going to give themselves time to see how this season shakes out and potentially work a trade in the offseason, potentially get a bargain rate, maybe with fewer years commitment on Baker Mayfield to, you know, as a stabilizer, because that's what he's done. He's helped stabilize this organization so they're not perpetually losing, you know, 16 or 15 games a season, you know, so there's benefit here. And plus, you know, when he has a good run game, talented offensive line, you know already that he can win playoff games. He did it a year ago. But is Baker built up to be a franchise quarterback for the next decade? I really do think that the Browns are trying to stall that decision as long as possible, and potentially the answer could be no.
Well, another veteran quarterback people are talking about, and you finished this sentence, Jimmy Garoppolo will be playing for who next year? Because I don't think it's going to be San Francisco, that's for sure. I think they're ready to move on from him after this year.
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo. You know what's interesting is you mentioned the name of a team that I could see Jimmy Garoppolo moving in with, and it's because of Brian Flores' relationship with the quarterback from his time coaching in New England. But I could see Jimmy G playing for the Miami Dolphins.
Good point. Not a bad. I always thought, you know, you hear the Deshaun Watson rumors, but I thought Baker Mayfield would be a good fit down in Miami.
Yeah. I mean, Baker, certainly. But if there's going to be a quarterback, a veteran quarterback, you know, a finishing piece again, kind of like how we were discussing Derek Carr, a guy who could move into a circumstance and make, you know, an already talented roster look a little bit better. That's Jimmy Garoppolo. And this guy's, as much as people want to say, oh, you know, he's dog meat and he's hurt all the time and this and that, you know, when he's healthy, he's a winner. You know, and what else could you ask for if you're the Miami Dolphins? That defense is real. They don't always show up, but they've done some great things this season, especially last season. And so if you can just get someone in there who has a steady hand at the helm, you know, and you can manage to protect him enough to keep him healthy, Jimmy Garoppolo would fit in good down there in South Beach.
And then, of course, the big name, Tua. Is it Tua time? Tua is going to be where? Next year, I go back and forth on him so many times. I'm like that bad, relationship. I love you. I hate you. I love you. I hate you. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I mean, it seems like he's getting better, but I'm not sure what to do with him, you know?
Tua, unfortunately, is going to be on somebody's too deep next season. I don't think Tua is a starting quarterback in this league.
Wow.
I don't think so. I mean, he's undersized for the position, which usually doesn't matter, but it feels like it does with him. He's a guy who, you know, he shows flashes of being able to create outside the pocket and get some yards with his legs, but he's not that fast and he's not that agile. He's a slower processor than I thought he was going to be coming out of Alabama. You know, he really kind of struggles to understand the full concept of what's in front of him defensively, and those slow decisions can result in turnovers. I think that Tua Tagovailoa, when we sort of, you know, roll down the curtain on his career, we're going to look at it very similar to Marcus Mariota.
Oh, gee. Well, you know, Marcus, that'd be a good comparison, except Marcus a little bit more agile.
Right.
I think you're maybe a little bit of a better quarterback. You want to get in real simple at Orenberger. I'm at Stick of Genius 1. When we get back, DeSager comes on in. What have we missed tonight? DeSager's going to be sure to let us know. That's coming up next right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, good evening, everybody. Rich Orenberger, Arnie Spanier, right here on Fox Sports Radio. Sitting in for the guys, Jason Smith and his best friend, Mike Harmon, as we finish off the Power Hour. We check in with Steve DeSager to see what we've missed. What's going on out there?
DeSager. Hey, Steve.
Hey there. We've got NFL news to get to and some NBA. But, of course, considering the co-hosts, we must first mention that University of Vermont basketball hit a three at the buzzer to beat Appalachian State. So
Ben Shungu, my buddy Benny Shungu with the three-pointer.
Making it rain. Good.
I just saw Benny a couple weeks ago at Al's French Fries getting some needs. So that's a big thing in town. What are you laughing at? Al's French Fries is
No, I was thinking
here.
Maybe as one one of those name, image, and likeness things coming up there that we just don't know about. Florida with a three-pointer at the buzzer to beat Ohio State as well. And the two late games in the NBA are done. Golden State and Sacramento with the home victories. Golden State 16-2 this
season.
Wow. And Phoenix won again. They've won 14 games in a row. Well, we mentioned earlier in the show that the list of semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame is out. There's 26 names on them, but it's not just Andre Johnson and Devin Hester and Eddie George. It's also Torrey Holt is on the list. Reggie Wayne still up for the Hall for the class of 22. Hines Ward, Tony Boselli, Sam Mills, Jared Allen, Richard Seymour. Also defensive backs Eric Allen, Rondé Barber, Leroy Butler, and Darren Woodson.
DeSager, I didn't make the list this year. It's,
I searched. I combed the names. I see that. In fact, I didn't see a single name that had that many consonants.
Right.
I'm crying out loud.
Sort it in alphabetical order and just reread it. I mean, maybe it's right at O is right after N. It could be a typo. I don't know. Just double check for me if you could.
Big O for Orenberger. Yeah. The 15th. Finalists will be revealed in January. Now, we get the class announcement for the Hall of Fame, Super Bowl week. They have the NFL honors usually the night before the game. I have heard that this year, with the Rams' new stadium hosting it, and that is, if you don't know this great facility, there is a theater on the site. Literally that huge cover over the football field, it attaches to a theater, and they're going to hold the NFL honors there, literally at the Super Bowl site, not the night before, but I think it's the Thursday night of Super Bowl week. So we'll not only get the MVP and Rookie of the Year and the rest, we'll also find out the class of 2022 announcement there then. In February, keep in mind, Super Bowls, the more they push this back, it's Super Bowls are in February now, never in January once again. We do
have to come out for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you are certainly welcome.
Thank you. I'll stay at your house.
You didn't? Well, okay. I was about to say.
Make up the guest room, DeSager.
I was about to say you didn't expect some nice comment from the rest of us here at the studio. And then you said that, and I guess I'll move on. We've got three games on Thanksgiving in the NFL, and they're three dome games, so weather won't be a factor. But as I referenced much earlier in the show, we are at Thanksgiving weekend. So the game at Cincinnati, for example, this weekend, just over 40 degrees, and a few games just under 40 degrees. At the Patriots, at the Giants, and the Rams at Packers game will be in the cold. Not quite like a playoff game in the cold, but as you referenced earlier, Aaron Rodgers does have a fractured toe, hurt while working out during his quarantine, by the way, and he did not practice today. The Sunday night games at Baltimore, about 40 degrees for the moment, possible drizzle for Ravens, Browns. The Monday night game in D.C., under 40 degrees for Washington against Seattle. And did you note it? Well, first off, we've got two teams on a bye this holiday weekend. Cardinals not playing. Chiefs not playing. Right. And did you notice the Kansas City Chiefs got a game flexed into Sunday Night Football? For Week 13, the Denver-Kansas City game will be primetime, not San Francisco-Seattle. That was taken out.
Who would want that one there? Jeez.
Exactly. Put on CBS late afternoon instead. And they've already told us who the two Saturday games are going to be next month for Week 15. It's going to be Raiders at Cleveland and then a Saturday night New England at Indy as well. The flex scheduling is really in full force now because it's mainly just weeks 11 through the end of the season. And the only games that are eligible to be moved are the Sunday afternoon scheduled games. They can be moved to Sunday night. You'll never, ever get a game that's scheduled for a Monday and have it flexed into a Sunday night, and then ticket holders have to rearrange their schedule a complete... No, that's never going to happen. It's the same thing with Thursday night. If it's a Thursday, it's staying on Thursday.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm glad you cleared that up because I didn't know... can you imagine the travel logistics issues?
Yeah, exactly. By the way, we're not even playing on the day that you had taken off or that the team was going to take off, any of that. So, yeah, believe me, that is part of the implication. And then once we get to the final weekend of the season, keep in mind, we're going to have regular season games January 9th. That's how long the season goes now.
Gosh.
For a week 18. There's going to be two on Saturday and the Sunday alley. And they don't have to announce those as far in advance. They can wait till 6 days prior to that final weekend and say, okay, here's the two Saturday games and here's the Sunday night game. And obviously it's games with playoff implications that'll be moved into those slots once we get toward, it's nearly mid-January to end the regular season. LeBron James had 39 points. Lakers won in overtime at Indiana. Lakers are 10-10. Boston lost badly at home to Brooklyn. The Celtics are 10-9.
All right, thanks a lot to Sager. Bonus hours coming up next. You want to get in at Ortenberger? I'm at Stick a Genius One. This is Fox Sports Radio.